Nadine.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, family, friends, and new Zoomers. Good morning. Welcome to our tribe. That's the tribe of Stokey. I'm honoured you're all here this morning to worship with us on this wonderful platform. So I would just like to say, as we worship Jesus and his awesomeness, may you all be touched in a very special way this morning. May you be blessed as we worship side by side on this platform. And may his countenance just fall upon us all in this time of turbulence. May we trust him and may we just look to him for the strength that we need. So I welcome you all this morning. I'm happy that you're here and I'm happy that I can worship with you all. Let's pray. Kind and loving Father, we just want to thank you again for your blessed Sabbath day. Father God, we have gone through 6 days of toil and labor, but we thank you, O Father God, that we can come before your mercy seat to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Father God, as we come together now, I pray that we will all be touched, that we will receive your word and your blessing, and that we may be changed, O Father God, that we will have a receptive heart and a teachable spirit. Be with all that participates on this platform this morning. Cover the speaker of the hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sonia?
Good morning, Stoke Newington friends and family. It's lovely to be here on the Sabbath. Scripture reading will be from Psalms 59, verse 16. But I will sing of the power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble.
Thank you, Sonia.
We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time, in an age on age astounding, to believe is sublime. Hark, the waking up of nations, Gog and Magog to the fray. Hark, what soundeth his creation, groaning for her latter day. Breastplate, peace be on thee, take the Spirit's sword in hand, boldly, fearlessly go forth and in Jehovah's strength to stand. And the prince of evil spirits, great deceiver of the world, he who at the blessed Jesus once his deadly weapons hurled, cometh with unwanted power, knowing that his reign will cease, when the kingdom shall be given to the mighty Prince of Peace. Christian, rouse, fight in this warfare, cease not till the victory's won, till your captain loud proclaimeth, servant of the Lord, well done. He alone who thus is faithful, who abideth to the end, hath the promise in the kingdom an eternity to spend.
My apologies. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Morning. Happy Sabbath, Pastor.
Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
I would just like to share with you this morning our scripture reading, which is taken from the book of Psalms 59, verse 16. Psalms 59, verse 16. It says, "But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercies, thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word at this time. You know, the title of the message today is, "Has Everything Changed Forever?" Has everything changed forever? I'm still preaching on the theme of discipleship and personal study with God. You know, I do not know about you, but my life is filled with, "Oh, I wish I had done that." "Oh, I wish," or "I wished I have done this." Now, I remember when computers were in its infancy, and I had the opportunity, great opportunity, to be part of this new technology. Sadly, I did not embrace it until years afterwards. If I had embraced it early, there is the possibility that I might have been a multimillionaire by now. Missed opportunity. You know, it was a Sunday night. I remember in my youth, the boys and I went out drinking. We were full of life. We had so much life to live and so much to live for. While drinking and talking a lot of nonsense, I noticed that there was an evangelistic tent crusade within my sight. As I looked out from the building I was in, I noticed across the road, not too far, there was a tent crusade. At that time, I did not know it was a Seventh-day Adventist meeting. Now, I have been always fascinated with preaching. So I went to see what was going on. Now, as I approached the tent, I was invited in. However, I stayed outside looking at the ladies. Sadly, I did not hear a word the preacher said. You hear what I said? I did not hear one word that the preacher said. Oh, if only I had sat down and listened. If only I had embraced Seventh-day Adventism at that early time. Maybe my dad, who died without accepting Jesus, might have become a born-again Christian. If only I had sat down, my brothers and sister might be members of God's remnant church by now. Saints of God, salvation can sometimes boil down not so much what you do, but what you did not do. You know, it is not enough to say, trust God. He will see us through. Has anyone had face-to-face communion with God? Then how do you trust God? You trust God through his what? His word. You learn to trust God by studying his word. You know, uninformed Christians will have difficulty trusting God and making right decisions. For the blind cannot lead the blind. Now, I'm going to say this with an apology. If you are not flavoring your Bible, I'm talking about discipleship today. If you are not flavoring your Bible with the spirit of prophecy, don't hear this much these days, the great controversy, desire of ages, et al., you are missing out on something that God, shall I say it again, that God considers important. A good disciple will embrace all that can make him wise unto salvation. You know, this is what the Bible says. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make these wise, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not enough to say, God will see me through. You have to learn of God through his word. Spend time in his word. But God has given us extra help, which will open up the Bible for us. Let us pray. We are living, we are dwelling in a grand and awful time. So please, Lord, help us not to neglect anything that can make us wise unto salvation. Let's not take our salvation for granted. And let us work for the Master while it is still day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, I want us to open the Word of God and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 1 to 8. Let me just get it in my Bible right here. It reads, chapter 5, verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if Paul was alive today, would he change his understanding about the end of the world? Or would he tell us what he told the Thessalonians? Paul said that they should know perfectly about closing events. Now, what could Paul mean? Paul was telling the Thessalonians and us today, he's speaking to us as well, that they and we have inside information. Did you hear what I said? We have inside information. It's like you are not a member of the church board, however, you know everything that is said on the church board. Inside information. Thessalonian Adventists and Adventists today should know what others do not know. Paul says, for you are in darkness. For you, sorry, are not in darkness. For you are sons of light and the day, nor of the night, nor of darkness, so that the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. Now, let's be reasonable. For everyone, last day events will be overwhelming. But, a big but, Adventists then and now were not to be afraid, though they would be overwhelmed. Why? Because they have inside information. You know, the world leaders are beginning to tell us, we got this. This is going to happen, and that is going to happen, however. However, if we do get through this, many things would have changed, especially laws and people's attitudes. Many things would have changed. On the other hand, they would hear world leaders paint a marvelous picture of security and hope in the midst of world problems. And you know, everyone will vote for security and hope. But, or however, Adventists, you hear what I said? Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists, Paul is saying, would not believe these promises. Why? Because we have inside information. But you might say, Paul, the world is different now. Why not believe world leaders who have all the scientific evidence that earthly problems are being solved? You know, the government had said during Christmas period, you know, you got your bubble. Stay in your bubble. Well, you know, one gentleman, he was a bus driver. He had his bubble. And on Christmas time, he and his family gathered together. And because of that, everybody who on that Christmas day who got together caught the virus. My brother was one of them. He got the virus. His two daughters got the virus. His girlfriend got the virus and her daughter got the virus. But the same virus affects people in different ways. So my brother's girlfriend, she died of it. Because the government said it was okay to be in your bubbles. Everyone needs to do what is right. Not according to what the government says, but what they feel and what their conscience allows them to do. So why not believe world leaders who have all the scientific evidence that earthly promises are being solved? Now, with these vaccines somehow being made at such record speed, I am sure we can expect that cancer will be a footnote to history soon. If we can make a vaccine so quickly, why is it taking us decades and decades and decades watching our children, watching our families die year in and year out from cancer, and yet they cannot find a cure for it? Paul, however, remains adamant. He's clearly saying the big picture of the last days will not change no matter what the television, the newspapers, and the politicians may say. Be gracious, Paul says, but don't believe those who make wonderful scientific promises or point to all the peace talks. Paul says, keep the course. He said, he's saying to us down here in the end of the end time, you have been given enough information. You should not be blind. You should know how the end will come. You are not of the night nor of darkness. Keep your eyes on the ball. Therefore, keep awake and be sober and do your job as teachers of truth, full of faith and love and hope. Now, this was Paul's famous trilogy. Faith, hope, and love. We call it the best insurance that money cannot buy. So how shall we take Paul's advice in 2021? Do we really believe that we are not in darkness so that this day should overtake us as a thief? How can we watch and be sober even when our human emotions are wrestling with sadness and perhaps anger at the human suffering that is happening all around us? The first wave of COVID-19 may just be the beginning of many tough times to come. The second wave seems to be at this moment more potent than the first wave. Is there going to be a third wave? On all sides, on every TV anchor and newspaper editorials, we have heard that since March 2020, life will never be the same again. That we have entered a new normal. That everything has changed forever. That we all feel differently about security. We are entering what is termed the era of the Great Reset. Never heard about the Great Reset? Well, where have you been? All the Western world leaders are talking about it. Now, how does an Adventist, a Seventh-day Adventist, relate to all this? All that is happening around them. What is our evidence that we are not in darkness, that we are sons of light and sons of the day? You know, anyone who has been an Adventist, even for a few weeks, knows that God has given to his church a lot, not just a minimal amount, but a lot of inside information as to what is to happen or what is to be expected in the last days. Now, saints of God, I take it for granted that you are aware that we are living in the last days. Are you a disciple? Since 1844, in the book of Daniel 7:13, the apostle says, I saw in night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Daniel 7:10 also states, the judgment was set and the books were open. Daniel 8:14, talking about the same time, the same moment, and he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. You see, after 1844, there is no more prophetic time period in the Bible or to come. Christ entered into the most holy place before the presence of the Almighty God. At that time, the judgment began as the books were opened. The cleansing signifies the blotting out or cleansing of our sins in the books above. Now, to ignore this enormous amount of information is to deliberately put ourselves, dare I say it, in darkness. And to set ourselves up for sudden destruction. Hear what I say. There is another source of inspiration that leads us back to the Bible. A great source of help for the dedicated Bible student. If your desire is to make your calling and election sure, to dismiss the working of the spirit of prophecy, for example, for any reason, is to avoid reality and to live in denial as if the future will be peace and safety. Now, the question today is, why gamble with your salvation if you are a disciple? So, what kind of light do we have about the end times? What does our inside information tell us? Others can't know because they haven't got what we have. We are told that events will come as an overwhelming surprise to the world generally. You see, they will be surprised. When things are happening, they are surprised. They cannot understand what is going on. So whatever they are told, they accept it because they do not know what's going on because they do not have inside information. We are told that transgression has almost reached its limits. You and I know this. When we look at what is happening around our world, we can see that transgression has reached its limits. We are starting to behave like Sodom and Gomorrah. We are starting to behave like the times of Noah, where transgression had reached its limits, but we have almost reached our limits. Inspiration says that confusion fills the world and a great terror is soon to come upon human beings. The end is very near. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Not only this, my brothers and sisters, and to church members is this warning given. Let no one feel that he or she is secured from the danger of being surprised. Mm-hmm. So how does that work? The more we study, the less surprised we will be. That's where Bible study comes in. The more we study, the less surprised we will be. Will we be stunned? Yes. But not surprised. Just as everyone was surprised at the speed of the spread of the virus. It seemed that it was just in January, February, that we saw pictures of in China. What was happening over there? And by March, it was in the UK spreading everywhere. We were stunned. And I guess we were also surprised, although we should not have been surprised. We expect these things to happen. Point two, events will come with blinding force. You know, this is a piece of reading which we use a lot as Adventists, but I haven't heard it for a long time. The storm is coming, relentless in its fury. And then the spirit of prophecy asks the question, are we prepared to meet it? Are we prepared to meet it? The more we study, the less surprised we will be, and the more prepared we will be to meet the fury that is coming head on without being surprised, although stunned. We should be able to catch the steady tread of the events ordained by him to take place. You see, those who place themselves under God's control to be led and be guided by him will catch the steady trend of events ordained by him to take place. You know, some of us Adventists, I'm sorry to say, I'm not saying you, I'm just saying some, there are some, who haven't got a clue what is going on. We depend on our radio and our TV to inform us what is going on. As if what is going on, what appears to be going on, is what is really going on. So the question, how much effort are we giving to a calm study of prophecy and world events so that we can be catching the steady trends of events? If you're ever going to study the Word of God, it is now. If you're only spending an hour, you need to spend 2-3 hours studying the Word of God. Don't depend on Pastor Vincent to get you through. I'm struggling to get myself through. You have to spend some time studying God's word, studying the trends of events that's happening. The promise is, the more we study a word to the wise, the calmer, wiser, and more responsible we will become. And the less overwhelmed we will be, the less surprised. Point four. We know that God is not the cause of calamity worldwide. It was not God's will that this virus came into existence. God just allowed it. He didn't initiate it. We know how the great controversy began, when evil merged into the hateful heart that turned Lucifer into Satan, the devil. And we know how evil will end. We know that Satan has done a great job of persuading most of the world today that suffering is something that God causes one way or another. If there is a God, why doesn't he stop all this suffering? I've heard that many times from people who are going through difficulties. If there is a God, why does he allow all this suffering? We all know that this world is the laboratory for the great controversy between God and Satan. You know, men and women have the freedom to decide whose principles works the best. You've got a choice. You can follow God's principles, or you can follow the unprincipled works of darkness, the Satan. But to prove Satan wrong, God has had to give Satan time to show the results of unrestricted freedom. Everybody wants to be free. Everybody wants to do what they want to do. If you have children, you'll understand what I'm talking about. When God is accused of being unfair and too legalistic, he had to let the universe see what happens when created beings run their lives on their own. No, that is why we suffer so much in our lives. And plane crashes and children die, as we are watching Satan principles work out. But Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, how long will this horror go on for? I want you to know today, it won't be long. The law of cause and effect will soon put the issue in the great controversy in very sharp contrast. The whole world will be the stage. We'll soon see developments on this earth that will dwarf all the oppression and horror of past centuries. It's coming. God is letting Satan play out his hand so that the universe will never again doubt God's wisdom and say no to him ever again. You know, everyone, even the rebels of earth and heaven, will one day say, it wasn't worth it. Philippians 2:11, Revelation 15:3, Revelation 19:2 talks about that, especially Philippians 2:11, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone, there is going to come a time when everyone will acknowledge that God's principles were true and pure. And so today, We surely are watching. We are watching the scary results of God's restraining power being slowly withdrawn. I know we all want things to go back to the way it was. Those happy times. But the Bible doesn't paint a picture of good times. And we haven't seen anything yet. Can you imagine? People are no longer worried about nuclear weapons because you can wipe out the earth with viruses and computer technology. Nobody's talking about afraid of nuclear weapons anymore. Five. So where does God fit in all this tragedy and suffering? That's a question. That's an A-list question. A-list question. Our inside information gives us some answers. It says, God permits them to come that the world may take heed, that sinners may be afraid and tremble before him. Take heed to what? What is the world supposed to take heed of? Realize that evil, the world need to realize that evil marches on and that no one is exempt from its horrors. That only God alone, not Biden, not Boris, that only God alone can guarantee homeland security. No matter how diligent the government and the world leaders are, they cannot guarantee our security. Our security can only be found in God alone. See, Satan will do his work, and God will use these disasters to wake up the general public and also to wake up the sleeping Laodicean church. The question is, did you get the wake-up call in 2020? Or does God have to pour it on in 2021 before we will wake up? Six. So what can we expect from here on in? Now that is a question that many are asking. You know, I hate to say this. Because I do not want to be a preacher of doom and gloom. You know, young people are always saying, always talking about being real. Now, always assume that when a preacher goes up to preach, he is being real. So why does he have to say, I'm being real? You know, not so. Because I'm beginning to get the impression that as far as these young people, young adults or young people are concerned, that their parents were not being real. That as parents, we have not been real. So let me be real to you today. Do you hear what I said? Let me be real with you now. We should expect more and more calamities. Oh gosh. More and more calamities. The time is right upon us when there will be sorrow in the world that no human balm can heal. Even before the last great destruction comes upon the world, the flattering monuments of man's greatness will be crumbled in the dust. Costly buildings, supposed to be fireproof, are erected, but as sudden perish in the flames of God's vengeance, so will these proud structures become ashes. Another point is, we should realize that we are not spectators, but active participants in the end time. Did you hear what I said? This is where so many Adventists still remain smug for two reasons. Some say none of this spirit of prophecy stuff is relevant today. Others say we know all this will happen, so we will just sit back and watch it happen. Paul, admonition and advice for us today is to remember that we are not in the stands watching the parade go by. We are part of the parade. We are not where we were yesterday. We are part of the parade. You see, our choices today at this very moment will determine where we will be tomorrow and the day after that. In fact, our choices today in the midst of world troubles are determining where we will be when probation closes. When it will be very clear just which beat we are marching to. You see, disciples, one of the first privileges we have is to share the light with those around us who see only darkness and anxiety in the future. Making disciples. If we think we will play it safe by sitting in the stands, watching the parade of events go by, God, our loving Savior Jesus, will ask us someday soon, what did you do with your talents? And to make it even sadder, when our loved ones and friends will say to us, why did not you tell us? Are there terrible disasters ahead for Seventh-day Adventists who now live in La-La Land, thinking that their knowledge of last-day events can substitute for the practice of truth? We have all heard the wake-up call in 2020. Now, if we keep facing the light and not the darkness, we will be able to trace the growth of cold, organized fury that will unite this country as never before. Impossible. There's a possibility that it will happen in our lifetime. That one world order fury will swiftly focus in hot legislations that will attempt to secure safety and unify the world against terror. Everybody is concerned about security, protecting. I've just heard that France has once again closed its borders to protect its citizens, to keep the virus out. So everybody's passing different laws here and there to keep themselves safe. You know, whether it is the terror of mad men and women or the terror of economic collapse, the terror of an enormous natural disaster, or, a pandemic. But, however, all this unity will be brought at the expense of giving up centuries of constitutional rights and individual freedom. You know, it's understandable. I understand every effort to secure our borders from those who want to destroy this country, our country. I understand every effort to track down evil men within this country by whatever means are appropriate. Even having a national identity card for airplane travel, hotel check-in, etc. I applaud those who now recognize that evil does exist and it's not merely a matter of poor housing and lack of education. Evil exists. And I understand why so many people recognize that in this crazy world, we must give up some liberties in order to have more security. However, I have a large but. You know, I read this old article. It was in the USA Today. It was written by Jane Bovat, who said, "Don't bed down with ignorance to fight terrorism." One of his thoughts run like this. In the long run, people have far more to fear from government than from terrorism. That is a prophecy that will soon be fulfilled in many countries of the world. I am so amazed that Seventh-day Adventists believe that because the government said it, that it must be right. My question is, have they never read the Great Controversy? Have they never read the South Ages? Have they never read Prophets and Kings? Have they never read Patriarchs and Prophets? Have they never read Acts of the Apostles? Adventists, Seventh-day Adventists have the inside information about the clouds on the horizon predicted in Revelation 13. We know that America especially will lead the way in forming a world network that will eventually use legislations to rule out any religion that says negative things about another church. Some of the elected leaders in America who we are excited about, because they may be the color of our skin. We need to look what these people believe. I studied some of what sort of individuals believe, and they believe, practice in your church. They stated on record, practice in your church, but don't go outside and tell others about it. Because the color of the skin, it's not the color of the skin what's important. It's your character, it's what you believe. And we have been fooled by the color of a person's skin. As if we just can't see anymore on that. We know that enormous economic crimes will bring America especially to its knees. Could it be something like the COVID-19 pandemic? I don't know, but there is a possibility. You know, many years ago, a young lady invited me to church. At that time, I was searching for God, but I didn't know how. At that particular moment, I was looking for direction. But brothers and sisters, where do you start? Everywhere you turn, there is a church. Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Anglicans, Lutherans, and an ever-increasing non-denominational Christian churches. Notice, no Seventh-day Adventists mentioned. Who ever heard of them? At least I didn't. With all these churches, what are the odds that you would find an SDA church unless you are asking the Lord for direction to guide you into all truth? You know, I always wish, or said, I wish I'd been born in the church. But it doesn't always work that way. Imagine this, being born in the church, born into the truth, born into a certain kind of lifestyle, under God's blessings. You do not have to look for Jesus because Jesus is right there. You know, sadly, parents drag their children to church and Jesus is right there every Sabbath and they never see him. You are enrolled in Cradle Roll. You are 18 years old now in church and you have not seen Jesus. Imagine going to church 52 Sabbaths in a year and not seeing Jesus. You know, the person who invited me to church brought me a book called The Great Controversy. Wow! What a book. All I can say is never the same again. It was the most exciting book I ever read. In those days, I was hungry for the Word of God. My appetite was insatiable. I could not get enough of reading God's word. It was like an addiction. If I could not get anything to read, I would get withdrawn symptoms. You know, my spiritual mentor was a literature evangelist. I brought book after book from him till I had no place to put them. Now, not being very bright, even with the help of the Holy Spirit, I could not understand a lot of what was said in the Bible. Couldn't understand it. However, as I studied the Bible with the spirit of prophecy, my eyes were somehow opened and the Bible just came alive in front of me. All the Bible became clear. It made sense. It was just wonderful. Let me tell you something. God does not send messages to us that we may neglect it. You know, as a student, imagine you as a student are preparing to take a particular exam. Someone gives you the exam paper. What would you do? Is it wrong to accept it? I guess it's wrong. It's cheating. That is what God does with the spirit of prophecy. He gives us the answers. The good thing is that you can accept it because it is not against the law of the land and it is not against God's principles. Now, brothers and my sisters, saints of God, any help to get me into the kingdom, I will embrace it. Think about it. You can pay £20 for a Bible and another £20 for a great controversy. Imagine £40 to walk on streets of gold someday soon. Is that a worthwhile investment? it is important to God. If it's important to God, it ought to be important to each one of us. To be a good disciple, please, whatever God has given us, enrich your Bible study by using everything God has given us to make us wise unto salvation. A word to the wise is sufficient. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, we ought not to be walking about as headless chickens. For Lord, we have inside information. We have information that President Biden does not have, that Prime Minister Johnson does not have, that the governments of the world do not have. And Jesus said, other religious denominations and organizations do not have. And we thank you, Lord, for this. But Lord, if we neglect it, how shall we be saved if we neglect so great a salvation? So Lord, help us to heed your message today. Help us to put not our trust in man, but put our trust in God. Because thou, O Lord, has never failed us. We thank you so much. As I close, I pray, Lord, earnestly, for those among us who are going through bereavement and those who are sick at this time, for many there be. We do not know your will in their lives, O Lord. But we can but ask that your healing hands will be upon them. And those who are bereaved, that you will give them the peace that passeth all understanding. We thank you, Lord, for hearing and answer our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Saints with eyelids waking,
though the powers of heaven are shaking,
keep your lamps all trimmed and burning,
ready for your Lord's returning.
Lo, he comes! Lo, Jesus comes!
Lo, he comes all glorious.
Jesus comes to reign victorious.
Lo, he comes! Yes, Jesus comes!
Of your Savior, pardon sin and purchase favor,
blood-washed robes and crowns of glory,
haste to tell redemption's story.
Lo, he comes! Lo, Jesus comes! Lo, he comes, all glorious.
Jesus comes to reign victorious.
Lo, he comes! Yes, Jesus comes!
Their base are crumbling.
Hark, his chariot wheels are rumbling. Tell, oh tell,
praise
the
Lord,
the
sand drop is sounding. kingdom hasteneth greatly, earth will lay his pangs at some. Him shout ye saints, your Lord is coming. Glory, 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 Jesus comes. Glory comes, he comes, all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Glory comes, yes, Jesus comes.
Heavenly Father, dismiss us. Not from your presence, but from this part of the meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Haste great and time diminished shall proclaim the mystery finished. Lord, he comes, Lord Jesus comes. Oh, Lord, he comes, oh glorious Jesus comes, reign victorious. Lord, he comes.
Amen. Amen. Father, dismiss us from this part of the service, but not from your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.